Through many interruptions, we made it. Boy, what a night this has been. Praise the Lord. This is Friday night, huh? I think Friday night's a good night to praise the Lord. Now, I don't want you to watch my foot movement. As I seek to add emphasis to the message. Pay attention only to this part. That was one of your better ones, Chuck. I'm going to talk to you about something brand new tonight. What do you think of that? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, that's a good one. All the way over to verse 21. Well, let's look at verse 20. Father, we long to see you glorified. In our heart. And in our life. We long to find that place wherein we are living for you alone. Where all of the misconceptions, misperceptions, are being taken out of the picture, and we can see you clearly, live for you freely. It's a new and glorious day, Lord, that you are striving to bring your church to be a part of. Help us, Lord. Help us rise above the storms of life, the distractions of this age. And come into the picture as you have called us to come. Your truth, living truth. And we want to know you, Lord. We want to know truth. Help me tonight to share your heart. Come, Lord. in your precious name. Amen. But you did not so learn Christ, assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him. So our new topic tonight is truth. I can remember my colleagues were coming into Fresno for several days for us to spend time together in prayer before we went on up to Fremont to hold a gathering. And I had a place that I would always go to walk early in the morning. So I was preparing for everyone to come in, and I'd gone out to my usual place, which was a beautiful park in Northwest Fresno, to walk, when the Lord suddenly took me up before his throne. And there he sat in all of his loveliness. Pure truth. I saw so clearly, so distinctly, that all truth is in Jesus. Outside of him, there is no truth. Our life is sustained. Boy, what is going on? I don't know how, though. Excuse us for a moment. Maybe I got it, Tony. This mic is to save many problems. So far, it's created many. Now, forget that just happened. Let's get back to the throne room. How do you explain to someone what it is like standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing that in him is all truth? I don't know how to explain it. Even while it was happening, if someone would have stood beside me and said, "What are you seeing? What does it feel like? What does it look like?" I wouldn't have known how to explain it. All I know is that when the Holy Spirit wants to make a certain dynamic of God real to you, he's quite capable of doing it. It was like the whole world, anything that was not truth, was cut off from him, separated from him, couldn't touch him. But eternal truth, from the beginning of time through eternity. How do you say the beginning of time when God never had a beginning? How do you say that? How do you help someone understand that any truth that has ever been, any truth, past, present, future, Truth is not time sensitive. Truth is eternal. It's not linear. It's always there. It is, has always been, always is, always will be. It's always. You can't put anything behind the word always. Truth is. That is it. I knew if I kept trying to say it enough, I could get it out the way it is. Truth is. And that's what I saw. All truth. How do you see all truth? I don't know. I wouldn't know how to. I couldn't make you see all truth. That's not something that can happen at the whim of man. Number one, can you imagine how big all truth is? If you can't count the days of eternity, how in the world do you, can you relate to all truth? If you can't count the pebbles, if you can't count the pebbles of the sand along the shore, how do you number all truth? It's not finite, it's infinite. Are you still with me? Have I made it big enough yet? So how do I explain to you that all that was in Him? The light that emanated from Him was blinding. And that light was truth. The love that emanated from Him over that truth was so compelling, I found myself undone. I love it when the Lord gives me revelation. I don't know that He does this for any other prophet, but for me, He always, when He gives me revelation, when he reveals these sacred things about Himself, it wasn't new. Paul saw it. But He was revealing it to me in a way that was comprehensive, made real. And when He does that, He always accompanies it with His love for this truth, so that I'll be sure to love it the way He loves it. When Jesus talked about the man who built his house on the rock, what was the rock? What was the rock? It was truth. You build your house on the sand, you're building it on falsehood. You build your house on the rock, you build it on truth. Because anything that has eternal value, eternal existence, is based on the foundation of truth, which is based on the foundation of His holiness. Therefore, what you want your life to be is based, founded on truth. All truth is in Him. Apart from Him, there is no truth. You can't find truth. You can't go and dig it up in the earth in some shaft, in some mine shaft, way far away in Asia or way far away in Indonesia or way far away in Africa and bring it to the surface. Because it's not there. You can only rivet your gaze upon Him. And in Him, Him alone, can you find truth. Now, if your life is solid and secure when it is founded on Him, where are you looking for truth? Do you get up in the morning and look at your daytime planner and see what your hours have to consist of and find truth there? No. Truth is in Christ alone. What He is, how He is. If you want to learn to live by truth, you must focus on Him. Learn Him. He is the very personification. Of truth. How do I say to you, what can I hope for? To help you understand, when you enter heaven, your life is going to be valued at the amount of truth you became in this life. The Lord's going to look at you. He will compare your life with His Word. And He will determine, did you live truth here? Did you become truth here? Did you embrace truth there? How was your life lived in respect to truth? And according to your union with truth, your life will be valued. This is such a critical understanding to embrace, because it means a refocusing of everything. You begin to look at trials differently than before. You begin to look at the blessings differently than before, because you realize that God is attempting to accomplish something in your life through everything that happens to you every day. And what He's attempting to accomplish is to align you with truth. And you know, us humans down here on this earth seem to have a very difficult time with that truth. When we are put through a trial, instead of trying to align ourselves with truth, we try to align God with our will. And have you ever noticed that He's hard to move when it's not His will? He can be like trying to move the Rock of Gibraltar. Instead of trying to align ourselves with truth, we try to align Him with our will. And our will, all too often, has nothing to do with truth. I'll give you some examples. James says, so get rid of all uncleanness, the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word. We can put in that place truth. Receive and welcome truth, which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your soul. When we're trying to align God with our will instead of us with Him, there is no humility. Just the opposite. We're moving in pride. Therefore, no truth. When we stand up in pride, truth cannot be implanted in our hearts. When we focus on the problem instead of God's will in the problem, instead of God's way in the problem, instead of God's truth in the problem becomes overwhelming, doesn't it? And we begin to try to manipulate everybody and everything to try to work everything out. When our focus is riveted upon truth, God, Christ, who is truth, it's very difficult to look at Him and allow our fallen nature to rule in the situation. When we look at Him, what do we see? We see beauty. We see gentleness. We see goodness. We see kindness. We see long-suffering. We see a heart to do good to His enemies. We see a heart to give and not expect anything in return. So when we're focused on our problem instead of on truth, what our problem does is amplify the life of our soul and our fleshly desires, our fleshly demands, our soulish ways. We get moody, we get cantankerous, we get demanding. Does any of this sound familiar? I see at least three of us. The one wonderful thing about talking to you guys is that I know everything I'm sharing, you've already overcome. So it takes all the pressure off me, you see. I don't have to convince you of anything because you have been there, done that, and you've won. Yeah. Yes, got a t-shirt that says it. What? So, here you are, you're amplifying, magnifying your flesh, which you must do to take control of this very difficult storm you're in. And when the forces of this storm will not cooperate, of course, you get moody, you get angry, you get rebellious. Anyone, I know you've been there, done that. I know you have. And you don't realize, I bet you've never done this. That is unfair. does he think he is? Now, if you're really one of these energetic ones and you love to really animate, you probably did this. Who does he think he is? You ever did that? Pound while you're stamping? So the trial, I won't put up with that. I will tell her off. And you need to tell her off too. Just tell her, I'm your wife, and you're not going to put up with this. You ever gone there? I see. No one has gone there. The flesh is being magnified because your focus is on the trial instead of on truth. What God is trying to help you understand is that your foundation is truth. Your stability is truth. What He's trying to help you do is navigate your way in life to truth. To bring you out of the place of instability and into the place of stability. Out of the place of the flesh that can accomplish nothing. What did Jesus say about that? I know there's a very important scripture about this very thing. Well, I know what Paul said about it. In your flesh dwells no... But Jesus said something about, why can't I remember that scripture? You can do nothing apart from me? And only what is spirit remains? Didn't he say something like that? I think he did. Only what is of spirit is of any value. Only what is of spirit is life. So the Lord is trying to focus us. He's trying to navigate us back to the focus of truth. Because in truth is life. In truth is the realm of the spirit that really can accomplish something. Out here where we're all concerned about the trial is the soul realm. The soul can accomplish some things too, but they have no eternal value. It's the flesh realm. The flesh can accomplish some things too, but again, it has no eternal value. What the Spirit is trying to do is navigate us back to the realm of truth where we can walk in the Spirit, grow in God, and accomplish great value in this life through the good times and through the bad. But because we keep forgetting that all truth is only in Jesus, and we keep our focus on all these things, these extracurricular things, we lose the value of everything God's trying to accomplish when He takes us through a storm. Some of you might say, wait a minute, what do you mean God taking me through a storm? I thought the devil was responsible for all the storms. The devil is responsible. But he can do nothing that God does not give him permission to do. And if the Lord has decided that you can be buffeted by this storm for your good, He's going to let the buffeting happen. So while you're complaining, murmuring, moaning, grumbling, doing it all wrong, stamping your feet, hitting your fist, doing it, walking away, stomping away, I nevers, all those. You are turning a life, something that was destined for you to be of great value in your life, you're turning it into something valueless. And what you're doing will leave no eternal value on this earth or in heaven. When you go up to heaven and you're thinking you're going to get this great crown for all the suffering for Jesus that you did, and you're going to find out you've got this little itty bitty crown because you turned away from most of the lessons that he wanted to teach you through your many trials, you're going to be very disappointed. He's trying to teach us how to be giants in God. He's trying to teach us how to be Christ-like so that he can make us Christ-like. And it all starts with humility. We cannot receive the power of the Word engrafted in our soul that was put there, are you with me? That was put there to spring up into a mighty tree full of radiant fruit. We can't even receive the seed until we humble ourselves. Until we humble ourselves, the seed won't even go into the heart. Many truths can be given and they'll rest upon your mind, but they cannot go into your heart, be engrafted into your heart, be implanted into your heart until the seed bed is humility. That is the first and foremost virtue. It is the most important thing. Humility. You cannot love the truth. Oh, now I've touched the heart of God. You were created to love truth. He created you to love truth. He recreated you to love truth. That is his highest hope for you. I'm not talking to you as a man talks to a man. I'm talking to you from the very heart of God. I created you to be a lover and a bearer of truth. If you are not a lover and a bearer of truth, you are not fulfilling the purpose for which I created you. And that breaks his heart. It breaks his heart because the best he would have given you, he cannot. You have withdrawn yourself from the funnel of blessing because you won't love truth. I love these people that say, oh, but I love the Word, but they don't obey it. I love to hear the Word taught, but they don't obey it. I love to read the Bible, but they won't obey it. I don't know what that means. I don't understand that part of the human nature. I don't know what it means when we love to hear the Word taught, but we won't obey it. We love to read the Word, but we won't obey it. Why do we love to read it? I mean, all it does is convict us. Whoops, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Well, I did that last week. I do this every day of my life. I mean, all it does is convict us. So what is it we love to read? And then we won't obey it. We're not a lover of the Word if we don't live the Word. That is what shows God, if we love the Word, if we live it. If we live this sacred set of truths that He put in our hands through His own blood, then we show Him we love it. Now, He'll love us whether we love truth or not. But, you know, there's something more to a relationship than, oh, God loves me. He understands my heart. What He wants from us is a relationship, a true relationship. Well, your heart is open to the many wonders of His person. And He's able to give you, impart to you, an understanding of Himself. The knowledge of Himself. The experience of Himself, which He cannot do. Are you listening? If you don't love truth. And I love these Christians that are, you know, they're so quick to tell you what to do, how you are to handle your trials and life situations. But then when it's on their plate, the truth comes out. Amen? They're a good teacher of the Word, but they're not a doer. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be a doer, that He can bless you with what? Himself. He said in His Word, how can two walk together except they be agreed? If you don't agree with his truth by living it, how can you walk with Him? And if you can't walk with Him, how can you know Him? How can you hear the whisper of His voice if your ear is not next to His mouth? How can you hear the thunder of His heart if your ear is not bent in to His chest? How can you feel the passion that beats through every part of His being if you never get close enough to sense it? If you are not a lover of truth, you cannot hear His whisper. You cannot hear His heart, and you cannot feel His passion. That is your choice, not His. All truth is in Christ. How do I help you understand? That means your life. Your life is not at Macy's. It's not at Walmart. You may have a business, but that's not your life. You may have a ministry, but that's not your life. You may have a small, tiny apartment, but that's not your life. You may have a huge, spacious home, mansion, but that's not your life. You may be a very charismatic, very popular person, very influential. You may have position and influence in the community, but that's not your life. Your life, what does the Bible say? Is in Christ. I want to take you out of your chairs and I want to pull you past the line of demarcation and say, now stay there. I want you to feel the difference between walking in the world and walking in the kingdom the way we were created to do. What the church is doing today is not what it was created to do. You know, you hear people talk about people that they consider are slightly backslidden. And they'll say, oh, they're just on the fence. The whole church is on the fence. But you know, it's like the path is like the Great Wall of China. So the church thinks it's in the kingdom. It doesn't realize that the whole church is on the wall. Few and far between are they who are really in the kingdom. You say, no, wait a minute. I'm saved. I love Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. There's a huge difference between being saved and walking in the life of the kingdom. Huge difference. To walk in the life of the kingdom, are you listening to me? Are you with me? To walk in the life of the kingdom is to walk in the life of the Spirit. How do you know if you're walking in the life of the Spirit? Where are you on the scale of love? Where are you on the scale of anger? What does it take to push your buttons? A man who cannot rule his own spirit is not a man of the Spirit. Anger is a sin. But how many Christians yield to that sin many times in a day and justify it while they're doing it? What I'm trying to tell you, I didn't get to many of the scriptures I was going to use. What I'm trying to tell you is this life you're living in Christ is way beneath what you are called to do. And it is time to rise up and be what you were called to be. You can do it. You don't have to live down here, you know, in the chicken coop. You really can live up on the high wave, the high currents where the eagles fly. You don't have to be ruled by your flesh. You don't have to be ruled by your soul. You really can live a life that is wholly yielded to your spirit. When the world is telling you that you should act like an idiot because someone pushed your buttons, I mean, don't they tell you on television how to act? They tell you how to raise a family where the children are telling the parents how stupid they are and showing them every day that they don't have any sense. And they're popular sitcoms. The parents come out looking like idiots and the children come out looking like geniuses. Everybody in the family is getting angry at least once a day. I mean, television will tell you exactly how to live in the soul. So get it out of your house. Yeah, but I watch Christian broadcasting. And how many of those ministers are telling you how to come up into the life of the Spirit? Get the television out of your house and get your nose in the Bible. In prayer. Because you are called. Not to walk among the heathen. You are called to walk where angels walk. And every time you give in to your soulish passions, which are so sick and so putrefying. Am I telling the truth? You pull yourself down from the walk of angels into the walk of those who do not even know God. Oh, what I'm feeling from the heart of God right now. I wish I could just take my heart and dump it out on you so you could feel it. He is calling for you is so incredible. He wants you to come up out of the miry clay into the heavenly places. He wants you next to Him. Don't lock yourself down here where it doesn't matter. You can't help a living soul if you're under the bondage of Satan. How can you help anyone? You've got to be able to put your heel on his head. And you can't do it when you're under his heel. You have to be above him. Do I understand things correctly? You have to be above him to get your heel on his head. Well, doesn't the Bible say we rule and reign with Christ so we are automatically above him? That is a position you've been born into, but you have to come to the condition where you can practically rule and reign over him. And you can only do that when you've come into a place of humility that will allow God to rule and reign in you. Humility, say humility. Humility, humility gives up all self-rights. That means if God wants to make a fool of you for someone else's blessing, he has the right to do it. If he needs you to be an intermediary in that way, where you were willing to suffer for the good of someone else, he needs you to be able to do that. This isn't about, you know, me. Don't they now have a magazine, or has it already gone bad? called me, or maybe it's called I. But I can promise you it's not called we. We think, as Christians now, because we belong to God, that God has got to make the world conform to our needs. And what he's really wanting is for you to conform to him. And when you have conformed to him, he will conform many things for you. This is not a slap on the wrist. This is a very strong encouragement from the Lord. All truth is in. Where do you belong? You don't belong in the soap operas. You don't belong in the sitcoms. You don't belong in the, you know, in the big fancy stores. You don't belong in the Walmarts and the Kmarts. You don't belong shopping the world. There is one who loves you that is waiting to reveal himself to you if you would just give him time. And in the revelation of himself, you will find how to fly the high currents. It is possible. You don't have to live under the devil's heel in this life. It's not easy. It takes will. It takes faith. It takes tenacity. It takes the will to keep getting focused even when you get off track. It takes humility to be able to be corrected again and again and again and again and again and again without getting discouraged. But most of all, it takes passion to love he who is truth more than this lower life. Amen. Father, let's stand. Kevin. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and there is a place that determines where eternity is going to be for you. There are degrees of heaven, there are degrees of hell. You can go to heaven and stay on the lowest degree because you chose not to make Jesus your number one goal in this life. Or you can walk the high places in heaven throughout eternity. You see, this life is so minute. It's so small in its frame compared to forever. What you give up here, there is a point in time. I'm telling you, because I've walked over the bridge, what I'm telling you is true. There's a point in time when you walk over the bridge and you look back and you realize that all the things that he asked for were meaningless. They were meaningless. He kept saying, "Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this?" And how many times do you say, "That too? Lord, May I? Are you sure? May I? I don't know. May I? Lord, may I? Then one day, you get to the other side of the bridge, and you look back and you think, why did I fight all those things? Wood, hay, and stubble. None of it was gold. He didn't ask for the gold. He didn't ask for the silver. He didn't ask for anything I thought he would ask for. He only asked for the things that were meaningless. Why did I fight him? Why did I make it take so long? And you're so glad that you yielded the things that he asked for. Because on this side of the bridge, it is so beautiful. And it is so clear. When you're still over here, it's not clear at all. I'm saying, come. And you're saying, I don't know what's over there. And I'm not even sure I'm going to want it when I get there. Looks to me like it's a bunch of hardship and a path full of rocks. And I'm not even sure it looks pretty or smells good. Why should I give up all this beauty for that? And I'm just saying, it's good. Keep coming. It's good. It really is good. Yeah, but you know, it hurts so bad right here. How do I know that I can take those rocks? You can, believe me, because you're lighter foot over here. Just keep coming. He knows. You don't know how to relate to where he's asking you to go. He's exchanging the tangible for the intangible. And that's not easy for a human being. He knows that. But he loves you, and he'll give you the grace. He'll help you if you will turn away from the things that cannot profit. To that which will profit your soul. Now, may I tell you what he showed me a little while ago when I said, oh no, something like that? He let me see your hearts. I just don't like those revelations. I don't like them because it always hurts me. And what he showed me in your heart was you didn't love truth enough. I don't ever get angry because I know that's something he has to develop in the heart. But I'm asking you for him. Turn to truth. In the days ahead, you will be so glad you did. World's getting unstable. He's the only stability. Come to truth. Amen.